I'm not going bowling. I'm not going to go do that stuff.
That's the biggest thing I've missed this whole time. Just get me back to those lanes.
One characteristic emerged as a significant predictor of success. It was grit.
What's up?
How you doing?
How
it's
goes it?
It's hard to have a different intro.
Yeah.
They all sound the same.
Yeah. This isn't working.
Whatever.
Well, here
we are.
No one
cares about the intro.
Yep. We're back yet again.
We are. So hanging out in my home office. You said you just went to our real office?
Yes. Ran over there late last week to grab this microphone that I'm using now, which is my normal podcast mic, and my mic stand and my headphones and a few, and I actually got my desk chair. So grabbed a few things and checked out the office. Actually brought my two-year-old over with me and she helped me water the plants.
Yeah. How are the plants doing?
Not great. We have four plants. Two are little windowsill plants, and those were very bad shape. The other two floor plants were, I'm obviously a plant expert, I'm calling them floor plants. They were okay-ish. I wouldn't say great, but not as bad.
Yeah, I think the last, I can't remember, I think I went in 2 weeks ago to get the podcast stuff to take home, and I think that's the last time I went. So it's been 2 weeks or more since we last watered those, which is, and it's been like pretty sunny in Atlanta, so it's not good. they're probably getting roasted in there. Who knows what the temperature is on things there. Was there anybody at the office? Like, were there any other cars?
No, there was no one there, and there was really no one around the whole area. It was complete ghost town. So,
yeah, it's probably not a bad place. I mean, we probably could go to the office. I guess we couldn't be in the same. Well, yeah, probably wouldn't want to be in the same room.
Yeah,
since it's enclosed.
It's like everything. It's like doing anything is riskier than not doing those things.
Yeah. I've gotten to the point where I'm in no way an expert on any of this stuff, and I don't think anyone really is. But I've gotten to the point where I'm like, I'm okay with being around a few other people if we're outside and we're like 10 to 12 feet away from each other, which is, I mean, it is pretty far, but also like not far enough where you can't like hear each other like talking. So we've had a couple people over where we sit in the front yard and they sit like 10 to 12 feet away from us, and we just sit there and like drink beers and talk. But, and obviously if nobody's coughing or anything, if people are coughing, they like, you need to go home. But I think that's like enough distance for the people that, if there were people that were like asymptomatic or whatever, like you're pretty far away. It's outside with like, you know, air blowing around and stuff. I feel like it feels unlikely that anything bad would happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I don't know. Like if we can't do stuff like that, then like, I don't know what, like what's going to happen in for the next like year or something, but it seems to be a kind of a good way to, at first I was like, no way I'd be near anybody kind of thing. But now, I don't know, the more I read, the more I learn about it, or at least what scientists are saying about it, like I feel like that's like a okay thing to do. But I probably wouldn't go anywhere like indoors around people.
Yeah, it's tricky too, just because so many, it's like the people you have around, what are they doing? You know, it's sort of this, the whole chain of events. But I also think, so my parents actually came by to drop off some stuff, which is the first time I've seen them. And it was very strange. Like, they just stayed on the driveway and we stayed up at the front door, which is like up like 15 steps off of the, and we just talked from on top of the hill. Basically it was very, very odd.
Yeah.
But the hardest part was our 2.5-year-old is like very confused why she can't go hang out with her grandparents. So
right.
That's where it definitely gets weird. And especially when, both for her, and then like my sister has a young child as well, and they're, you know, the cousins want to play. So especially if there's two kids on either side, like kids on either side of the interaction, it's just like, it's a non-starter basically.
Hard. Yeah. The people that have come over to our house are, non-parents. So no other kids to have to kind of manage that situation. But
what is Brooklyn doing during your socially distant beers?
We stay on the driveway, and she'll color, you know, she's got like chalk and stuff. She's gotten started to use that. And then she'll just sort of just like walk around, and she's like kind of too shy to even go up to people that she doesn't see very much. So it's sort of like a barrier in itself. So she pretty much just stays on the driveway, and then the other people just like sit in our front yard. But it's been fun. We might do it tonight. Oh yeah. We isolated even before other people were like, before it was like the thing to isolate, we started kind of doing that at home. And so like, obviously the only place we've really gone where there might be other people around would be a grocery store, but it's very like seldom that we do that. And same thing with my parents. Like, I basically gave them an ultimatum. Like, back when it was okay to go to the gym, well, I guess now all of a sudden it's going to be okay again, but
we'll get to that story.
Back when it was okay, we basically told my dad, like, because he goes to the gym all the time, we were like, if you go to the gym, like, you're not gonna be able to see Brooklyn. Like, we just can't, we're not gonna take those chances. So he stopped going to the gym. They basically stopped doing everything except for the same thing as us, which was like go to the grocery store like once or twice over this long period of time to get a bunch of stuff. So we've been like, my mom has been coming over and babysitting Brooklyn some days, and we've gone over there to their house as well. And actually right now my mom came over yesterday and picked up Brooklyn, and Brooklyn's with them for the next like 2 days. So it's actually for a short time kind of nice to have the both freedom to work a lot during the day, like just have more time, but also like quiet night. And also we kind of slept in this morning, like till 8. So that was kind of nice. Those are the only people we've really been around. And now I'm a little bit worried because Georgia is now just all of a sudden deciding that regardless of what the data is, everybody can start pretty much going like back to some sort of normal, like going to gyms, going to restaurants, going to bowling alleys. I don't know why that I'm not sure about that. Bowling alleys where you stick your fingers inside of holes that other people stick their fingers in.
And massage parlors is another
massages. Yeah. One. Where hands touch you and people breathe on you right next to you. So that apparently is opening up, the day that this podcast will be released, Friday. So, not sure what's going to, we're probably not going to change what we're doing, but some people will definitely change how they're doing it. And I'm a little bit worried that my parents will change what they're doing, and then how that will affect what basically us getting childcare help right now. Cause I don't know if we'd be willing to, like, if they're just like going to the gym and stuff, like, I don't know if I want to be around them.
Yeah.
And getting it, taking the chances and stuff. So yeah, I
do not have high hopes for how things are about to play out here. Based on before Governor Kemp of Georgia issued the stay at home, which was already kind of late to the game, there were so many people in my view that were not really, that were sort of, yeah, we don't need to do anything. Everything's fine. So I know those same people, a lot of those same people are very eager to get back out there, which I obviously get.
Everybody is, yeah,
but,
of course.
But I think this is now just that, just enough, you know, kind of giving them that opening to go act like everything's normal again. And thought it was strange that it makes sense to give a bit of a heads up, but I also think I would imagine there are people who are already kind of acting like things are opening back up, even though they're not, because there was like a 5-day notice. So I don't know. I'm not excited about it. Hopefully there's a segment of the population who stays conservative here. But even my sister is actually a hairstylist, and so she hasn't been working for the past, you know, month, but she got basically within hours of this announcement, she was getting notifications from clients being like, when can you schedule me? When can you schedule me? So obviously there's plenty of people who are just jumping right back in, which is
right.
a little scary, but I guess we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. They haven't released like what the new, I'm assuming there would be some additional like rules and precautions that you have to take, but they haven't released that. So you don't really have any, you don't really know yet, but,
yeah, from a purely logical standpoint, this, it was basically reopen all these businesses that don't adhere to all the CDC guidelines, but also in the same statement, keep adhering to CDC guidelines. Yeah. So I'm not sure how that's supposed to work, but
yeah, apparently there's favorable data to show that this is a good move, but nobody has seen that data.
Yeah.
Not even like, I mean, I heard the mayor of Atlanta talking last night and she's like saying the same thing. She's like,
show me the data.
I hope there's favorable data because I haven't seen this data.
Yeah.
Like, why has no one else seen this data?
Meanwhile, we're building,
talking about?
We're building like temporary hospitals in parking lots. So I don't, I'm not sure why that would be happening if everything is fine, but I guess,
I mean, it's pretty obvious. It's like this guy has his own beliefs about things and I'm sure he's got a bunch of other people that think very similarly surrounding him and in his ear, telling him we need to get back to normal and that that's like the bigger issue in all of this instead of the healthcare crisis.
Yeah.
It's like, so
it's going to
like, that's what he thinks. And I don't really, I mean,
here
obviously there's nothing we can do about it except for like what we ourselves do. So, I mean, it's not like I'm not going bowling. I'm not going to go do that stuff.
That's the biggest thing I've missed this whole time. Like, just get me back to those lanes. Like, how was I supposed to get on without a few, you know, a few beers with the boys at the bowling alley? Come on.
I'm not going to lie. Like, even before all this stuff happened, it always felt weird to be sticking my hands all over those bowling balls.
You've like, been, so you're ahead of the game on not bowling.
Exactly. Well, and also, like, what's the most popular food item at a bowling alley? Pizza. It's like you're sticking your fingers inside of these holes and touching these bowling balls, and then you're eating pizza with your hands. It's so dumb. It's like it already was dumb, and now it just seems dumber and even more dumb that this guy thinks that we should be going back.
Maybe
to
his
that,
maybe someone in his family owns a bowling empire or something. There must be some logical explanation for this. But
one of his donors is like a big time bowling person.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know.
But anyway,
yeah. Well, so it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I mean, not really interesting, but
we're gonna have to see it. So yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's happening. It is what it is. But yeah, like I don't think like my wife's company is like going to be going back to the office or anything just because all this is happening. So I don't think it's going to change like much with us. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see what the rules are for restaurants and stuff. I would consider going to a restaurant if I was sitting outdoors and if there were some precautions put in place in terms of how far away people were put away from each other, like at tables and stuff. I would consider it, but I'd have to like see what that all like looked like and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be going like inside of restaurants with other people right now. That just like seems pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well,
but
on the,
anyways,
back to more mundane things. Before we got on this call, you were talking about exploring different note-taking apps.
Yeah. I've been wanting to do more. Like, we got these iPads 6 months ago or whatever. I've been doing more on them in terms of writing notes and like little diagrams and stuff. But I've been looking for like, I want to start keeping taking notes better so that I remember what the heck I was doing in a day. And then also like being like, we do check-ins weekly and trying to, it's hard to do check-ins when you don't take notes and like keep track of what you're doing. Cause then you don't remember exactly what you did. And it takes a long time to remember that stuff. And then you don't want to do the check-in. So, in order to help myself go through the exercise, I'm trying to take notes more, do more like to-do style stuff. And just be a little bit more disciplined about that. So I've been using Apple's like regular note app, which is pretty good. But I've also wanted to like have a way to convert handwritten notes to text so that I can use them in the check-ins.
Yep.
A little bit,
mm-hmm.
Which is not supported by Apple Notes. So I've been looking at some stuff. I was looking at, there was one called, well, there's Notability you mentioned, and GoodNotes were like the kind of the premium paid versions of these things, which I may go with one of those. And then I was looking at this other one called Nebo, but it's, I don't think you do like diagrams and stuff quite as much. It's like less of that and more like hardcore note taking, but it's got some really cool features.
What is hardcore note taking?
Like just more focused on, it's way more focused on like notes than it is like drawing things or drawing diagrams, like, which I feel like some of these other apps are a little bit more, like I'd say more split between those two things.
Yeah. Like so you're kind of like, notes being handwritten notes or just like typed?
Both.
Okay.
Both. So, and really some really cool features, like quick features for converting. So like with GoodNotes and Notability, it's based on my research, it seems like you have to do like, in order to convert stuff, you have to like lasso like a segment, like paragraphs or something, and then like convert them. This thing's like doing it automatically, and you can just like, it's got some cool gestures to just like tap, like you basically just like double tap and it like the whole thing converts.
Nice.
So there's a lot of, like, it seems very, just very focused on the note taking side and not really anything to do with like diagrams and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's also got some stuff where you can like automatically do math equations and like random stuff with like handwriting, which is cool. And it was free. Also, it's free to start, and then like you could like do like a pro version of it or something. So I kind of played around with that a little bit, and then what I would do is like use Apple Notes for the diagrams, then maybe the notes stuff I would use this other app. So I don't know yet. I just played around with it this morning, and then I was like, okay, I need to like start doing real things.
Yeah.
So I put it aside for another time. I'm kind of hoping. I really wish somehow Notion would like just have some native stuff, like handwritten note stuff.
Yeah, there's a long time ago when we first started tinkering around with Notion, which I guess was like 2 years ago, which sounds crazy, but there was a little tool someone had built. I forgot what, if it's at like a classy domain name, but if you Google for like Notion drawing, I think you'll find it. But it wasn't native, so it wasn't a perfect experience, but you could basically draw things on this little web app and then embed them into a Notion page, and it would show up. It would actually render the web page as a drawing. So instead of like screenshotting an image, so it was still live, which is pretty cool.
Interesting.
But yeah, it would be, I mean, something like that that was more commercialized would be cool.
There's also like a bunch of just generally like a bunch of iPad features that I just don't know about because I just haven't used it enough. So I've been trying to look up, like, I know you can like do split screen, especially around like notes. So you can have like a to-do list on like one, like in one note that's like split screen, and then you could be like drawing on the other side or whatever. So there's a lot of cool things that I just haven't used before. And so I was kind of like tinkering with trying to figure out what those things were. And you can also like in the new operating system for Mac, you can, there's something called Sidecar. So and maybe this isn't that new, but new to me at least, you can basically use the iPad as like a like basically another a desktop or monitor. So
yeah, have you actually tried that? I haven't used that.
I tried it this morning. Well, like I didn't really like do anything useful. I just kind of like brought it up and just wanted to see like how it worked and what it looked like. I'm not sure I even need that, but it could be interesting. I mean, maybe, I don't know if you can use the iPad camera for like being on like a video call or something, because then I could like place the iPad in like a better place for seeing me on the video or something. So I don't know. I got to play around with it and see like what features still work and what's, you know, what you can do with it, or where the applicable use cases are.
Yeah. I haven't actually used that. I used to use an app called Duet that was like a third party app, which I think still is around, that I used a few years back, which is pretty cool. So like when I'd go to a coffee shop, I would use my old iPad as like a little second display. And I'd usually just throw like my terminal or something that I just kind of want to always have in view. I'd throw it up on that, but obviously I'm not going to coffee shops much. So maybe I'll try Sidecar whenever that happens again.
Yeah. Yeah. So just playing around with all that stuff, but trying to get better at the notes side and just make sure I know what's available for use here. But I'll have to keep messing around with it to see if I can find any like useful, repeatable ways to use that stuff.
Yeah, I pretty much used I've been using GoodNotes. I also did a fair amount of like kind of exploration. I didn't see the one you mentioned, I don't think, but because my use case is more diagrammy, but even the hand, it's funny because the handwriting conversion to text is something I've always thought was really cool, but my handwriting is so bad that it's almost, it's not even worth me, honestly, for me, for that to be useful for me, I have to, it takes me so much time to write my notes that it's just like a kind of an untenable situation. So I pretty much just embrace the fact that I won't get to use those kind of things. They won't really serve me. So I'll just sketch out stuff. And I kind of use it as a scratch pad. Because a lot of times, especially when I'm first starting out on a task or something, it's just, I want to wrap my head around all the things that I'm thinking about. And so it's easier just to draw it out. But I like to draw it out. Like I used to just draw it out on paper, but it's nice to draw it out somewhere that I can actually, I can also just upload this back to the task as like a reference point. So that's also useful. You there?
Yeah, sorry. I had to close the door. My wife was coming down talking, so, you know.
No worries.
It's only a live podcast.
Yeah.
So what else? I know we were going to talk about, and I don't know if we're going to have enough time because we're trying to keep these episodes like short and sweet at like 30 minutes, but we've kind of been talking a little bit about just all that's going on and like how we're handling the cash side of all of this, because that seems, I mean, it's pretty top of mind. It's like, I feel like I at least think about it or am doing something in regards to it like every single day.
Yeah.
So, and for us, that's been looking at the cash we have in the bank, looking at churn and or like subscription pauses, which is like this new hot trend in the SaaS world for COVID. And then
formerly known as cancellations, I guess.
It's well, no, there's like, it became such a thing. It's such like a
Stripe,
such
it.
A yeah, Stripe like literally built a feature for it now. So like you can go in and like pause stuff, and there's different types of pauses and all that kind of stuff. So that, and then, you know, also, you know, funding, if we wanted to take any funding right now. So, I don't know if we're gonna have enough time to go into that, but, it's definitely, I've heard a lot of entrepreneurs going and getting funding or trying to get funding right now. Like that's been the main thing. Oh, well, I guess everybody is trying to get, like, if you're in the US, you're trying to get the PPP loans,
to the point where gigantic companies are taking all the money and none of us get anything.
Yeah, we didn't get anything in the first round, and we have apparently been processed. We've been told that our application has been processed and approved by Bank of America, but now they're going to send like the ask for the money to SBA, like basically the government.
Yeah, this whole thing is just
so a mess. That's where we're at right now. We don't, and obviously there's no money yet, because there needs to be another bill that's passed. So we're kind of just like, I would say that I'm starting, like I'm hopeful that we'll get it, and it would certainly be helpful during the next couple months for us. But I'm definitely not banking on it.
Pun intended.
I'm definitely like looking at our cash that we have now and like banking on that.
That's how I've always felt like this was. It's also just because there's no traceability, there's no transparency. It's so hard to know what's going on, that, which is already kind of the case when you use like a big bank or in banking, and then especially if you use a big bank and then you roll in like layers of administration and government and everything else. I don't have high hopes of even if they wanted to give us money, that it actually works. Although obviously people are getting it, but
yeah,
it's hard to know, I guess. Meanwhile, all these businesses are, you know, fortunately for us, we're not on like death's door here, but a lot of companies are really like, time is of the essence, which is why this bill passed so quickly, but actually distributing the funds to those who need it is just taking too long.
Right. So. Well, I think about some of our, like, so we haven't, on the user feed side, we've experienced a little bit of churn, but really not, actually not as much as I thought we would, given that it's like mostly SMB clients. I mean, it's pretty much all SMB clients. So that was kind of surprising. On the ad reform side, we've been more impacted, and that's because many of our customers, like they're running ad campaigns on behalf of their like brands or advertisers. And obviously in certain sectors, it's being hit very hard, whether it's travel, whether it's yourself, like whether your brand is like Mercedes, like cars, you know, a lot of like, honestly, like a lot of different things, right? So depending on what your customer base is made up of, you may have like, those customers may have frozen their ad spend and you may have like no campaigns going. And so as a business, like you've basically gone from like, millions of dollars being funneled through to like nothing in like overnight. Well, so especially those customers are getting hit super hard. And obviously that's trickling down to us in some cases. But it's, yeah, like those people need money now. Like those are the people that need money. Although many of our, like we have a lot of our customers are pretty well dispersed around the world. So like we have customers, I don't know, I'd say at least, like half of our customers are US and maybe half are, you know, abroad, France, Spain, England, like, I don't know, Australia, like all over the place. And it seems to be kind of affecting everybody the same way, which has been kind
of interesting. And people are just, at a minimum, people, even when they have, when things are still going well, they're going to try to tighten up spend as much as they can just to preserve cash for the unknown. So that obviously, that happens. I mean, everyone's doing that. I get that. But it's tricky. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's funny though, because like I felt, honestly, there was like a little bit of me that felt a little bit guilty applying for the PPP loan, which I don't think is reasonable, but that was like my human instinct. Right. When I think about people like a restaurant who's completely hosed right now. And then I see people like Shake Shack getting $10 million. And I'm like, wait a second. Why did I feel bad? So, which I guess they're giving back, but, it's a mixed bag for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, if you offer it to everyone, then it's like, it's hard to feel bad. Especially for us, like we definitely have taken, you know, as a business, we've taken a hit, not a dire hit, but definitely a hit where like, if we got that money for us, it would probably be like around, just based on like, we have contractors and we have some, like me and you are like the only people that are technically W-2 in the US. So it kind of like, we sort of get, we can't get like the full value of what I guess a lot of people are getting, but the amount of money we would get would definitely be valuable in the short term, like next 2 months, because that's when people have been pausing. If they are, like we have some customers that have paused. So a certain chunk of MRR has been paused for the next month or 2 months, hopefully not longer. So in that time frame, like it's definitely valuable to us to be able to cover essentially our salaries
for sure.
And be able to, so
yeah. And I think too, mainly it's like the program needed more specifications, eligibility rules, I think was the main, like I think you kind of can fault people for applying when they probably shouldn't have, people that have, that are public companies, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, there should have just been constraints set so that they would prevent that and not rely on people's, you know, I don't know, willingness to self-select. But
yeah. Yeah. So it's been, I mean, I guess I wanted to go more into that. Obviously we don't really have enough time, but,
we can keep, it's an ongoing conversation. So I'm sure we can jump more into what we've actually looked at and stuff. We spent too much time talking about, watering plants and note taking. So
yeah, I mean, it is an interesting topic though. Like, that I would assume 99% of SaaS businesses, especially bootstrap SaaS businesses, are experiencing right now. There's probably, you know, a couple here and there that are probably just killing it right now. But, you know, in some ways it's, you know, it sucks because we were really growing quickly and, you know, you get hit by this. It's not something you ever imagine having to deal with. And like our revenue has taken, you know, is taking a hit. Now we are still working on a number of different opportunities and like the revenue will grow at points, but like you're gonna, you know, we're just generally gonna like take a hit and probably just sort of like kind of stay stagnant for a while.
Yeah.
It's not what I want, but you know, it's kind of what I
just based on what I've seen so far in the data, that's probably what's going to happen. It's just like, you know, we can only control what we can control. So, but we can talk about, maybe on the next episode, we talk more in depth about that. Obviously we have a little bit more data. We could get more into like numbers of like, I heard somebody else on a different podcast, maybe it was Build Your SaaS or something like that. They were talking with the Verimetrics founder about like how much revenue they lost or what percentage of revenue they lost and, you know, how that affects things and what kind of cash they have in the bank and things like that.
Totally. And we looked a little bit at usage, so we can talk more about that too next time.
Yeah. I've been seeing some different like companies or entrepreneurs post things on Twitter about like showing their usage over the past like 6 months and just like how much it's dropped. Like just crazy. And ours has dropped too, but just like probably everybody else. But just thinking of like talking about different ways that we're trying to fight this and like kind of get through it and weather the storm and just try to scratch together whatever new revenue or, you know, cost savings we can scratch together without actually affecting, you know, not actually touching like employees at all. And I think that's the goal. And some companies, you know, really believe that or focus on that. And some companies are just like very clearly just going out there and like first thing they think is, how many people can we get rid of?
Well, and a lot of those companies are the ones who were, you know,
funding.
Yeah, high rollers when in a good market, they're high rollers and they're overspending. So that's kind of what happens, I guess. But
yeah.
Anyway, that's a sad note to leave on. But next week, hopefully, we'll have heard from more on some of these things, and we'll have more to share, so we can get into it more.
Yeah. Also, one of our team members, Josh Anderton, with his Getting to Ramen podcast, apparently he's launching an episode this week where he talks about what he's learned so far from joining the team on the support side and like supporting customers at Userfeed, which we definitely have a little bit different way of doing it than I think a lot of people do. So I think that'll be an interesting episode. So go check it out.
Yeah, we have no idea what he's going to say, so we'll all find out together.
Yeah, we might maybe don't go. Yeah, yeah. No.
Who knows?
But if it's horrible, yeah, who knows? Hopefully not. Anyways, cool. Well, I got to run to a call.
Sweet. Until next time.
All right. Until next time.
See you.